Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about the Minneapolis VA's Veterans Homeless Program, and we're going to learn about the Minnesota National Guard's Women's Leadership Program. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General, the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard has long trained for emergency contingencies when civilian authorities call us for help. We have trained for severe flooding, out-of-control fires, and search and rescue missions. But there is a new threat our soldiers and airmen are training for now. One of my top priorities is to increase the National Guard's capacity to combat cyber warfare. Cyber warfare is internet-based conflict involving attacks on information and information systems. Cyber attacks can disable official websites and networks, disrupt or disable essential services, steal or alter classified data, and cripple our financial systems. The Minnesota National Guard has full-time staff whose job it is to track cyber issues and keep us ahead of a cyber attack. We have also identified traditional drilling soldiers within our force who are capable of being called up to fight a cyber attack or a cyber-triggered traditional emergency. Such an emergency would require a coordinated response among several agencies and levels of government. We are working with other state, local, and federal agencies to develop these relationships and to establish plans for execution for various scenarios. I am proud to tell you that the Department of Military Affairs conducts cyber response rehearsals annually and is consistently preparing to address cyber warfare in Minnesota head-on.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio now are Jonelle Glepke and Bridget Gill from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, where they work in the Community Resource and Referral Center, and their mission is to support veterans who are experiencing homelessness or who are at risk of homelessness or serious mental illness by promoting physical and mental health, assisting in securing and maintaining housing, and working with veterans to achieve increased community integration. Jonelle, you were on the show a while back. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Bridget, thanks for joining us today as well.
Thank you so much.
I want to start with you, Jonelle. I understand you are a licensed social worker and coordinator of the Homeless Veterans Program, the Minneapolis VA, and director of the Community Resource and Referral Center in downtown Minneapolis. And how long has it been since you were on the show?
I think 2 or 3 years. I've lost track.
2 or 3 years?
Yeah, yes.
You've been out there helping our homeless veterans all this time?
Yes, absolutely.
So how long have you been at the Minneapolis VA?
About 16 years, over 10 years with the homeless program.
And that was something that, how did you get interested in that program?
I was working in outpatient mental health at the VA and really found that the opportunity was there to work with homeless veterans out in the community and really meeting them where they're at. And so that's where I went, and I've loved it ever since.
And you're still passionate about helping our homeless veterans?
Absolutely.
And part of this that we don't want to miss is helping prevent homelessness by catching them before they fall to the bottom.
Exactly. And that's really key to our work. And many of our programs really address that prevention piece.
And Bridget, how long have you been with the VA now?
I've been with the VA for a little over 7 years.
And how long have you been working in the homeless programs?
The homeless programs, I started in 7 years ago in the homeless programs.
So you started there do you like it?
I love it.
Okay. And I understand that the Community Resource and Referral Center, you have a collaborative program between HUD and the VA that combines HUD housing vouchers with VA supportive services. And do you work on the HUD side?
Yes. So actually, the partnership occurs. HUD provides the Section 8 vouchers, and the VA supported housing services come from the VA side of things. So we have a large team of social workers that I oversee, and those social workers work very hard to meet veterans for the first time when they're coming in from the streets, helping them find housing, helping them all the way through the process to find housing, and then helping them maintain that housing.
Now, Jonelle, I know that for a few years we've been talking about the fact that the former VA secretary wanted to eliminate homelessness, and I've always been a little dubious about that because the day you eliminate it, there might be some new homeless people the next day, so you're never really done, are you?
No, the work isn't ever done, but we have made incredible impact so far. Since 2010, we've decreased veteran homelessness in the state of Minnesota almost by 58%. And I know nationwide it's been cut in half. And the work is continuing. And I know that our team and our community partners that we work with on homeless veterans issues are more dedicated than ever to making that goal come to fruition.
Now, I know here in Minnesota we've got something called the Homeless Registry, where we try to locate the people that are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless. But how do you find everybody that needs help?
It really is a strong coordinated outreach effort, again, between VA and our community partners. Once a veteran is identified as being homeless, they're added to the Veteran Homeless Registry, which is statewide. And I just want to mention that since January 2015, when the registry was developed, we've housed 1,116 previously homeless veterans through our registry partners. It's really key to what we do. And the fact is that we're looking at each individual veteran by name on a weekly basis with our partners and really identifying what is the best housing plan and what is the quickest of ending veteran homelessness for that individual.
Now, Bridget, you said you work on the HUD side and you have access to some Section 8 housing where you can help provide housing, but the VA actually has some other facilities available as well, don't they?
Yes, we actually do have a center located in downtown, the CRRC Community Resource and Referral Center, from which we provide a variety of services. We have, like we said, the VA-supported housing services that provides over 650 vouchers to veterans who are provided with both that voucher and the supported housing services. We have outreach services where veterans can come in straight from the shelters off the street, meet with a social worker for the first time, enter into health care if they've never been, and get on with a plan with that outreach worker. We also have very strong transitional programs, as well as veteran justice outreach programs.
So, Jonelle, from the minute you meet a homeless veteran, you have resources available to help them on the spot.
Absolutely.
So you could find housing for them tonight, or you could find housing for them interim or long-term.
Correct. We really partner with our shelter coordinated shelter system, but then we're also working toward possibly, as Bridget said, transitional housing or permanent housing. But the goal is obtaining housing as quickly as possible, and we're really looking at that permanent housing option. And we also have a couple of agencies that we work with closely. Common Bond, Upper Post at Fort Snelling is one of those that opened a few years ago where they have 58 units available, and their goal is serving homeless veterans as well. It's been a very successful program.
So you're coordinating your activities not only with HUD, but with all the other agencies that are out there trying to help prevent the veterans' homelessness.
Absolutely. So we work closely with St. Stephen's, Catholic Charities, Salvation Army, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, our Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and multiple other agencies. We also work with some organizations, our veterans organizations, which are key in helping us. But we also have a new relationship with Hopkins Elks Lodge, and they have provided welcome home kits for veterans entering into their permanent housing, and their organization has been so impactful and meaningful to us and to the veterans.
So you've got a big team of resources, and you coordinate your efforts, and if somebody raises their hand and say, I'll take care of this one, and then off you go.
Yes. The commitment and devotion by all of us is definitely there, and it's really great to see.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the Community Resource and Referral Center operated by the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with the Jonelle Glepke and Bridget Gill from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and talking about Community Resource and Referral Center in downtown Minneapolis, and their mission is to support veterans who are experiencing homelessness or who are at risk of homelessness. And ladies, it sounds like you work well with all the other agencies that are available here in town, and there's Jonelle, there's a lot of them, from MACV to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to even the Hopkins Elks Lodge, you said, is providing some support. So
that's right.
It's wonderful, once again, to hear here in Minnesota that we've got lots of people working on an important program.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, you've got a lot of different factors in this. You have a collaborative program between you and HUD, and Bridget works a lot on that to provide some Section 8 housing. We talked about that. But you also provide some supportive services for veterans' families. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. This program, Supportive Services for Veterans and Families, is really looking at how we can provide prevention and rapid rehousing for any veteran that is needing that and eligible for those services, which is really to provide that support to very low-income veteran families living in transition to permanent housing. It's really designed to rapidly rehouse homeless veteran families and prevent homelessness for those who are at risk. In this case, this is a VA program, and funds are granted to nonprofit organizations. And our grantee here in Minnesota is Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and they do excellent work in bringing these veterans to permanent housing.
And Joanelle, your website indicates that the VA on a national basis, I'm assuming, funds an estimated 600 agencies that provide over 14,500 beds for eligible veterans. So this is no small event for the VA. This is big business, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And our transitional programs are incredibly important. It's collaborating with those community agencies and providing the transitional supportive structured services for veterans on a short-term basis. And the goals are really to help them reach that residential stability, increase their skill and their income, but also for greater self-determination. And again, the end result is permanent housing.
And Joanelle, we've learned in the past with the stand downs that happen all across Minnesota in the summertime, it's to reach out to the veterans, clean them up, get them some clothes, get them some housing, eliminate maybe some legal problems that cause the spiral downwards. And then I know that you have a program called Homeless Veteran Community Employment Services. Mm-hmm. So once you stabilize them, then you try to get them to work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we've mentioned a lot about the Community Resource and Referral Center downtown, which is sort of like a daily stand down, is what I've heard kind of described, because we do have all of those wraparound services. We have community partners that are on site at the CRC who provide prevention, who provide looking at and applying at benefits, and also legal services to really serve those unmet legal needs that oftentimes can be a barrier to obtaining housing.
So when you meet these homeless veterans, do they pretty much know that you have a whole range of services to help them?
No, not right away. I think since we moved down to the center, and I'm happy to share that we'll be celebrating 5 years since being in downtown Minneapolis. We were located. Thank you. We were located at the Minneapolis VA, but since coming and being downtown, our access is incredibly improved. And veterans, all they need to do is present, and we have a social worker on site, as Bridget mentioned, Monday through Friday, and they're able to meet with every veteran individually, review all of the services that we have, including medical care. We have a primary care clinic on site to serve these veterans as well.
So, Bridget, do you work out of the downtown resource center as well?
Yes, I do.
So it must be comforting to know that you've got a whole range of services available to help the veterans, from just getting a shower and some clean clothes to getting them a door they can lock and some housing and health care. How often do you have health care issues?
Healthcare issues, they come through the door every day. I mean, it's definitely very relieving to have, like she said, that one-stop shop there for veterans to come in and get any kind of need you could think of met that day. We've just been very successful being downtown. It's a little less intimidating for some than going to the big VA center, and sometimes it takes that to warm them up to services over at the VA center.
So does word spread among the homeless veterans that there's help available and here's where you have to go?
It definitely does. There's a lot of camaraderie amongst veterans, and they definitely spread the word better than any group of people I've ever known. We've been a huge success, and I think our veterans would echo that.
Now, Joanelle, I understand that you have some homeless patient aligned care teams. What does that mean?
Well, that's the primary care clinic. And so that's we have a nurse full-time with us, also an LPN, another nurse, and they work together with our primary care physician at the CRRC to triage those medical needs, but also to provide very comprehensive health care. So whatever the needs are of our veterans, we're able to meet.
So if they've got an infected tooth or if they've got some injuries from a fight or whatever it is, you can get them the appropriate care quickly.
That's right. Definitely. And close coordination with our main VA.
So once again, get them in, get their immediate needs met, take care of their health care, try to get them a place to stay,
yes.
Work on, and then work on some employment issues. And also you have a Veterans Justice Outreach. We talked earlier, some of these veterans, there was some legal issue that might have caused their downward spiral. So you have some resources available to help with that, too.
That's right. We have two different programs, Veteran Justice Outreach, which is really, we have two specialists that work within our veterans courts throughout the state of Minnesota, which now we're reaching around 10 courts that the veterans are able to participate in. The other piece is our Healthcare for Reentry Veterans Program. Ariana Hart goes out into the state and federal prisons and works with veterans before their release and helping them really get coordinated to care and to housing.
And we've had her on the show. So
yes.
If you go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, look up any of those topics and you can hear some pretty detailed discussions of what that entails. And she really reaches out to the incarcerated veterans to let them know that there's help available for them too.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, ladies, we just got a couple of minutes left. Bridget, I want to come to you. You must have, over 7 years, had some pretty good success stories.
Yes, definitely. Many. One recent that comes to mind is a gentleman, I think in his 70s now, a Vietnam-era veteran, who came to me years ago, 7 years ago to be exact, one of my first clients I had worked with at the VA, and had really had a chronic history of homelessness. You know, there had been a lot of homeless outreach workers that had reached out to him, and finally, I don't know what the key was, I talked him into trying out housing with me, and he did. He came through the program. We were able to get him housing, stable housing for the first time in 30-plus years. He had a pretty long history of mental health substance use issues. We started to address those after he became housed. He had been disconnected from his family. I think a few years after entering the program, he reconnected with them. He is actually now graduating from case management services, continues to be stably housed, and would say that his life satisfaction is better than it's probably ever been.
Well, Bridget, thank you for helping out one of my fellow Vietnam veterans. Always good to hear that. Jonelle, we just got about a minute left. If our listeners want to find out more about the Community Resource and Referral Center operated by the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, do we just send them to va.gov?
Yes, that's the easiest route. Go to Minneapolis VA and look under Homeless Services, and we're listed there.
Okay, and if any of our listeners are aware of any homeless veterans, you'd like them to go seek out the homeless registry or once again go to va.com.
That's right.
Jonelle, just 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
All that I can say is that we're all working together on this mission and we need everyone's assistance and we're all in this together. And also just a shout out to landlords and we're looking at 248 veterans currently homeless in the state of Minnesota, and finding those landlords and those housing opportunities are key to the work that we're doing.
Well, ladies, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. That was Jonelle Glepke and Bridget Gill from the Community Resource and Referral Center, VA Healthcare System, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we'll learn all about the upcoming Women's Leadership Program with the Minnesota National Guard. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with two officers from the Minnesota National Guard and talk about the Women's Leadership Program that's coming up. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Come visit the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, also known as MDVA, at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The department will host a booth in the grandstand for the duration of the state fair. Our staff will be on site with county veteran service officers to ensure veterans who stop by get the best knowledge, resources, and referrals in terms of state and federal benefits. Other organizations represented include our Veterans Service Organization partners like the VFW, American Legion, and Disabled American Veterans. Learn about MDVA and how we fulfill our mission of serving Minnesota's veterans and their families. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Brigadier General Sandy Best and Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks to talk about the 2017 Women's Leadership Forum that is held by the Minnesota National Guard. General, Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom.
Thanks. Good to be here.
General, I think you were the first female general in the Minnesota Air National Guard. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. And not too long after me, I was joined by General Clyburn for the Army National Guard.
On the Army side. And we're happy to have you on the, back on the show, ma'am. And how long ago did you start in the service? Was that like 1991?
That was 1984. I was actually enlisted for 7 years before I was commissioned, but I was commissioned in 1991, and so I've been serving for 33 years.
So you've had broad experience as an enlisted soldier or airman and as an officer making it all the way to Brigadier General. Congratulations, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
And Colonel Merrick, you are the commander of the 834th Aviation Support Battalion, Director of Diversity and Inclusion, and Director of Family Programs. How long have you been in the service, sir?
So I'll be coming up on 27 years, Tom. So I enlisted when I was 17 years old, 1989.
Yeah, that was as an enlisted soldier at that time?
As an enlisted soldier, yeah.
Okay, and made it all the way up to Lieutenant Colonel so far?
So far, yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Well, we're here today to talk about the Minnesota National Guard's 2017 Women's Leadership Forum. And General, can you tell me, is this the third event?
This is the third annual event, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it, if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am. We had some people on last year, and I think for that one, it was hosted by Best Buy. And this year, you've got a new host, and going to be a big event, ma'am?
Absolutely. This year, we've already reached our goal, which is 600 soldiers and airmen, enlisted and officers, men and women, and that is going to be held by 3M at their location in Maplewood. And we're very excited about this event, but I'd like to back up and share with you a little bit about how it got started.
Yes, ma'am, please do.
That it was started about 4 years ago where it was more informal, and it was our top enlisted person, Sergeant Major Cynthia Kahlberg, who pulled together a group of about 150 soldiers and airmen at the 133rd Airlift Wing and just talked about their careers. And it was the start of a women's leadership forum. And it was so well received. The book Lean In was big by Sheryl Sandberg. And after that event, it was so popular that one of the officers said, Lieutenant Colonel Barb Pasternak said she wanted to formalize it. And so now we've had it professionally done for 3 years at a much higher level. The first year was at Metro State, and we had about 350 people at that event. The next year it was at Best Buy, and we had 450 people. And this year it's going to be at 3M, and we're at 600. And so we are just thrilled and very excited about the momentum that this program has gained.
And General Sergeant Major Kahlberg was a frequent guest on this show, and I recall her telling us about the first one. But as I recall, this was to help the female soldiers and airmen figure out how to navigate their careers and what they needed to do to move up through their careers and what some of them might need to do if they wanted to be warrant officers and what some might need to do if they wanted to be commissioned officers and kind of explain the process and help with that. Is that still what you're doing?
That was how it started, and we are still doing some of that, but it's really kind of grown more into a variety of networking. The first year that we had the program at Metropolitan State University, we brought in a 4-star general, and she was the first female General Wolfenberger who made it through the Air Force Academy. And so she spoke to the group, and it was really to show airmen and soldiers that you have the ability to do anything you want, and to include being a four-star general. And so she was the first year. The second year, although we had a variety of other speakers, the one that stole the show at Best Buy corporate headquarters was Major Lisa Jaster, and she was one of the first women to make it through Army Ranger School, and she was just phenomenal.
So part of the purpose is to bring in some good speakers and show them that there's no ceiling in the military. If you do the things you need to do, you can make it all the way to four-star general.
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Sandy Best and Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks on Minnesota Military Radio, talking about the 2017 Women's Leadership Forum. And Colonel Merricks, the last couple of years, this isn't just for women, is it?
No, it's not. We're looking for men to be part of this organization as well, because as a military, we can't do separate just on the gender. We have to integrate and be a cohesive team. And so we're advertising to men and women for this.
Now, Colonel, the general said this isn't just to show them how to navigate their careers, but it's to network. It's my understanding that you've got about 12,000 soldiers and about 2,000 airmen in the Minnesota National Guard. And that's a lot of people to know, but this is an opportunity to meet some people that maybe you don't work with.
Well, exactly. And you hit a word right there that we've used a lot of. It's opportunities. And any time in leadership, when you have the ability to take opportunities and advance your career, advance others, that's what we're really striving to do. That's how we make this an inclusive environment. Networking and to see how other branches and other services succeed is definitely a positive outcome for this event.
In general, I want to come back to you. As we've said, there's no ceiling in terms of how far up you can go up the ranks. And one other development since we've been on the air the last 7 years is most of the job opportunities are open to females across the board. I think they are on the air side.
Yes.
And there's maybe one or two jobs on the Army side that are still, or are they all open now?
They have opened them up now, and so really it is to be able to let people know that there's different opportunities. Most people naturally gravitate towards the interests that they have, but what we're trying to do is create opportunities so that they know that some of the non-traditionally held positions that where there have not been females, that they can also pursue those opportunities.
So, General, you had a lot of people at this event last year. Was the feedback real positive?
It was really positive, and one of the most positive people about it is General Nash, who has really promoted this opportunity for women and made a big difference in his tenure as the Adjutant General. And so he has encouraged and supported the ability to be able to grow this to where we're at today with 600 people. Yeah.
And, of course, we've heard him talk about transparency and diversity and opportunities for all. And he's really made that a big part of his agenda while he's been the Adjutant General, which is now coming to a close. We'll have a new Adjutant General maybe announced sometime next month, ma'am.
Yes, we will. And so diversifying our force and creating an environment of inclusion is really kind of our target and goal with this program, to help people achieve their goals.
And, Colonel, one of the other things the TAG has always talked about is making sure that the Minnesota National Guard matches the complexion of the civilians in the state of Minnesota and make sure that there's opportunity for all. And that must be a big part of what you talk about at this forum.
Yeah, that is one of the big topics that we put in the forum. Really tying again with some of the civilian networks. As you know, National Guard is a part-time job for some people, but this provides an opportunity to network inside the business community as well. So we're part of our community, and having this at one of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies really helps tie that together to be an integral part of the community.
And we'll talk about that when we get back, because 3M is one of the longstanding Yellow Ribbon companies here in Minnesota. General and Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Minnesota National Guard's 2017 Women's Leadership Forum. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about the Minnesota National Guard's 2017 Women's Leadership Forum, and our guests have been Brigadier General Sandy Best and Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks. Colonel, can you tell us when and where will this be held?
Absolutely. It'll be 8 a.m. starting on September 16th at the 3M headquarters in Maplewood.
And, of course, you've been moving around from Yellow Ribbon Company to Yellow Ribbon Company, and 3M, I think, was one of the original Yellow Ribbon Companies, big company nationwide and internationally. They have a Minnesota, or the military support network within 3M, and then we've got a lot of Minnesota National Guards men and women that work at 3M, so they've got a real good support system over there, and I'm not surprised that they're helping you with this forum. In general, it's going to be September 16th, starts at 8. What's going on that day, and I'll bet you've got some really good speakers.
We have quite a lineup. It's hard to top a four-star general and the first female to make it through Ranger School. But this year, we changed it up a little bit, and we started looking at some of our outside partners. And so General Nash will kick it off with a welcome. And then our keynote speaker is going to be Pam Borton, and she is the former University of Minnesota basketball coach, head basketball coach, and she has now gone on to do executive coaching, wrote the book On Point, and she's going to specifically be talking about emotional intelligence because this year's theme is enhanced emotional intelligence, strengthen the team. So following her, we'll be breaking out into some breakout sessions, and Pam Borton will be doing some more intimate sessions with groups of 50, and she's going to do a Borton's boot camp and talk about some of the key leadership principles that she outlines in her book. And then we'll also have some other speakers like that talk a little bit about the different generational types of people that work in the workforce, an expert on that. We're also going to have a breakout session that includes the Chief of Staff for Governor Mark Dayton. They're going to do a lessons learned on diversity and inclusion from the Officer of Governor Mark Dayton, and they're going to have a panel of diverse members, and they've had a big focus at the governor's office on building a better Minnesota. So they're going to do a panel. And then we're going to have, because Super Bowl 52 is right around the corner, we're going to have Maureen Bausch, who is the chief executive officer for Super Bowl 52. She was also the general manager for Mall of America. And so she's going to do a Super Bowl 52, and then she's going to talk about how she got involved in a very non-traditional role as the Super Bowl 52 chief executive officer. And then another really exciting panel that we're going to have is we're going to have a senior executive panel that includes all of our local major sports team. So that is the Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Lynx, the Minnesota Wild, Minnesota Vikings, and Minnesota Timberwolves. And they will have their top female executive sit on that panel. We're also going to have a state legislative representative, and we're going to end with a end note speaker that is the Vice President for Equity and Diversity for the University of Minnesota.
So you've got a lot of very successful people going to be talking to your soldiers and airmen from the Minnesota National Guard about what it takes to get there and get it done.
Absolutely. And even at higher levels, this is for myself. I just can't wait to hear all these phenomenal people share. I want to share one other panel that we're going to have. Last year, we had a panel of senior leaders in our organization that included wing commanders and major subordinate commanders on both the Army and the Air side. And so it was to kind of share with people what it takes to get to those positions. This year, we're going to have a junior panel, and that junior panel is going to be able to share with leaders what it takes to keep them in the organization, what's important to them in the organization, what they love about the organization, and maybe what needs to improve.
It's always good to retain your best people, isn't it?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Colonel Merricks, thanks for joining us today. We're just about out of time, and I have one more question for the general. In general, across 42 stations all over Minnesota, there's some young ladies listening, and you've had a successful career so far with more to come. What would you say to those young ladies if they were thinking about a career in the military?
I would say definitely do not forget to check out the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard. There are so many exciting career opportunities, educational opportunities, great people to work with and develop your future.
Well, ma'am, thanks for taking time to join us in the radio today. And Colonel, thank you for coming over to the station. And I hope you have a very successful event that the 2017 Women's Leadership Forum of the Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Brigadier General Sandy Best and Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Marricks on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Jason Marquardt, President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you again, Tom.
Jason, how are all our veterans down around Rochester?
Well, Rochester and the southern areas, they seem to be doing pretty good at.
They've weathered pretty well this summer?
Oh, yeah. The weather's been just gorgeous down here. It's been mainly 70s and 80s, and person can't complain, especially down here. If you got to have a funeral at the cemetery, you're not going to get hot or anything.
Jason, you're coming to the end of your year as the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers.
That's correct. It's been almost a year come September 12th, and it was an exciting year for me.
Did it go fast?
It went very fast. I actually can't believe that we're at the end of a one-year term, but I'm kind of looking forward to being done with being the president because it is a lot of work, especially if you're in a one CVSO office like mine.
And as an association, how many gatherings do you have each year? Is it just the spring and the fall?
That's correct. We have our spring and fall conferences. Our spring conference is put on by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and then our fall conference is put on by the association so we can get our education. It's the only annual business meeting that the association has. So that's when we like to take care of all our business for the year. And then we elect new officers and go forward with another great year.
And a lot of what you do as an association is educational because you want all of the county veteran service officers to be aware of as many resources available for veterans as they can be.
That's right. All our training that we get helps the veteran, but it also helps us maintain our accreditation with the Department of Veterans Affairs. You know, we talk all kinds of topics. We talk about burials, burn pit for the Iraq veterans, military retirement, just a whole slew of things. We get updates from the VA themselves, both from the regional office and the hospitals, and just get as educated as we can.
And, of course, a big job that you take care of for veterans is if they have some type of an issue, a medical problem that came up while they were in the service, then they go visit their county veteran service officer or any county veteran service officer, and you'll help them prepare the claims. You'll even help them find a copy of their DD-214, their discharge, if they need to.
Yep, that's right. We like to help the veteran through the whole process, make sure that they're getting everything that they deserve from their time in service, you know, and we're kind of a master of all trades, you know, like I said, with military retirement. Most of us try and work with the veteran to help them to make sure they're having no issues in retirement. And then, because there's a lot of benefits that cross over between the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Defense.
So, Jason, once again, for our veterans that might be listening to the show, if you're not familiar with your county veteran service officer, they usually hang out somewhere around the courthouse. Go on up, make an appointment, or just stop in. Get to know them. Get your discharge certificate on file. You might not need any help right now, but you might need help later, or your family might need help later. So your motto is go in and get to know your county veteran service officer.
That's right. The better you know us, the better we can help you, because a lot of us treat our veterans as if they're family and they're brothers and sisters in arms. So the more we know about you, the more that we can help you through times in your life, you know, whether it's with the VA stuff or it's with different other programs that we know about that could help you in time of need.
So, Jason, what are you most proud of during the course of the last year as president of the association?
Well, that's a hard question. I've been sitting here trying to think about it. And I guess I'm most proud that I didn't sink the association. We're still up and running strong.
That's good.
No, we had a lot of good legislation come through this year, just like getting it so 70% to the 100%ers that aren't permanent in total, they don't have to reapply every year. That's a very good thing. I mean, we as the County Veteran Service Officer will now track it for them. They just had to do the one application. So, you know, that's a big one that we've been trying for years, to help the veteran out so they don't have to remember to do that important thing. Other things is we've just continued to strengthen our bond with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Commander's Task Force, any organizations that are out there to help veterans. It seems like we keep strengthening them bonds as an association with them.
Jason, we've got just about a minute left. How's the handoff going to the next president? And any final thoughts for you? And we appreciate you coming on the show every 4 weeks during the last year.
Well, I appreciate the time on the show, Tom, because it helps get our word out to the veterans and their families, because it might be the families that are actually telling the veteran to go see us. So, you know, we're happy for the time. The handoff with the incoming president has been slow because we haven't officially picked an incoming president yet. That'll be done on September 13th at about 11 o'clock in the morning. So when we officially know who the president is, me as past president, we'll make sure that they transition into the job as easily as possible.
Very good. Well, Jason, I hope you continue to take good care of all our veterans down in Fillmore County, and it's been a pleasure talking to you the last year.
Thank you for your time, Tom. It's been a great year for me, too.
Thank you. That was Jason Marquardt, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jonelle Glupke, Bridget Gill, Brigadier General Sandy Best, Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks, Jason Marquardt, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week at the Minnesota State Fair at the Twin Cities Newstalk booth on Machinery Hill, where we'll be recording two shows next Tuesday from noon to 4 on Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.